You're tuned into the all-new Freedom 106.5.
Our conversation this morning, we're going to go a bit into it. What is sextortion? We're talking sextortion, and I want to touch on sexual harassment. Mm-hmm. Now, I have had experience working in a cruise ship.
Right.
All right, I worked in a cruise ship for a while. And what we in Trinidad and Tobago get away with on a cruise ship, you understand what is real sexual harassment of both parties,
right?
Male and female.
Yes, yes.
So before I tell you how dread it is, I would let Andisa get into the first aspect of sextortion.
Yeah.
What it is.
Right.
First and foremost.
So before we even jump into the definition of sextortion itself, I think it's very interesting to touch on this topic in Trinidad and Tobago for... You kind of hinted at it already when you said that you worked on your cruise ship. So I want to clarify that we're relying on the definition from the International Association of Women Judges, and I want to say it verbatim. They define it as a form of sexual exploitation and corruption when individuals in positions of authority seek to extort sexual favors in exchange for something within their power to grant or withhold. Essentially, sextortion is a form of corruption where sex, as opposed to money, is the currency of the bribe. So for instance, you may be working in an organization, you want a particular promotion, and they hint if you give a sexual favor, whatever that sexual favor is, then you would be able to get the promotion. Or even, we know we have a migrant community in Trinidad. However, they are intercepted, wherever they are intercepted, and I'm not saying that it's happening, it's just an example. One of the protective services say, well, you know, we'd allow you to enter Trinidad, you know, if you give me this sexual benefit. So, it's essentially where you're using your authority, you're abusing your power in exchange for granting this person something within their power to grant or withhold. And the reason why I wanted to highlight sextortion today is because in Trinidad and Tobago, we don't necessarily have legislation that deals directly or pointedly with the issue of sextortion. So what they would have to do is try to fit it into existing pieces of legislation, which would not fit that well. And it allows the perpetrators to then operate within this gray zone and kind of, you know, avoid the consequences of their action.
But is sextortion bordering on sexual harassment in any way?
It can, possibly.
It can, but it's not.
It is two completely different things.
Right.
Yes.
So, break it down to the layman.
Right. So, sextortion is where you're abusing your power, where you're saying, I'd give you this, I'd not give you this, if you give me the sexual favors. Whereas sexual harassment, you're not necessarily promising the person something. You're probably just, I don't want to say the word,
well,
but
we,
you know.
We ain't going to get that part yet. I want the border.
Yeah.
So, here is my thought on this. And this is me thinking.
Right.
We say to girl A,
right,
you're working in the office here, like your vibes, you know, but you could get promotion. We could do this. I'm trying to figure out. It's an agree. It could be an agreement between two consenting adults for something.
Right, but I mean that would always be the issue where I get. I think what you're trying to say is where some persons may be using their what they have to give to be able to get the benefits essentially. But there are some persons who are in vulnerable positions. So for instance, it might be, let me say, someone who probably below the poverty line, who needs the money or who needs a house. And someone in a position of authority then say, well, the only way in which you're going to get this is if you give me a sexual favor. And that is when it becomes a problem. That these persons are not abusing the power and the authority that they have in order to get sexual favors from persons. And I hope that by explaining this, it doesn't appear as though it only attaches to women. Because based on the statistics, and there are statistics, it shows that generally the perpetrators are men, yeah. But more than likely, the victims are young boys. And in a country like Trinidad and Tobago, where we don't necessarily, we're not, you know, the most open country as it relates to the LGBTQ community, that would mean that if you are the person who experienced that as, I mean, in the young man, you may not speak up because you may be afraid of the stigma that the other persons in your in the workplace might say, or if you go to the police station, the police officers might then take you seriously. And we know that's a thing. So I hope that it isn't just a pay. I mean, some persons may use sexual favors to get advantages for themselves, yes. But then there are persons who then use the power that they have to force persons in vulnerable positions to do sexual favors for them in exchange for some type of benefit. And that's the problem.
If you're in a position to give somebody a promotion,
right,
give somebody a house,
right,
and this person is blocking you because they can grant it,
yes,
but without the sexual favor, more than like you're not going to get it.
Right.
That when it becomes...
That is sextortion.
But is sextortion a crime? You mentioned that it's not in our law books.
No,
but is it a crime in Trinidad and Tobago?
So that's what I said. It doesn't have a particular piece of legislation in Trinidad. And that's the whole... The International Association of Women Judges, they are rallying for more legislation that deals with the issue. But in Trinidad, we have pieces of legislation that could possibly cover it. So, for instance, we have the Prevention of Corruption Act, and I could state what that act says. It stretches and it says that it could be a reward or advantage whatsoever, and that could possibly be stretched to cover sexual favors. But the issue with utilizing that act to deal with the issue of sextortion is that, firstly, it only applies, or it's limited only to persons in public bodies, public offices, or state enterprises. So obviously, a person operated within the private sector wouldn't be able to get any recourse from the Prevention of Corruption Act. And also, the Act not only criminalizes the receipt of the sexual favor, it also criminalizes the given of the corrupt advantages. So there is a possibility that the victim could then be criminalized if they go and report that this particular incident occurred, which is an issue, because you want persons to feel confident enough to go and report that this happened to them and not possibly face being criminalized themselves. So
but why would they face criminalization? What could constitute they facing criminalization for reporting sextortion?
No, so what I'm saying is, under the Prevention of Corruption Act, it criminalizes both the given and the receipt of the corrupt advantages.
Right.
So that particular act covers not only the person who received it, but also the persons who gave it. Because usually this particular act deals with financial bribes. Generally, that's what what they're thinking.
I accept the bribe,
exactly.
I corrupt it. So it's like...
And you gave a bribe, you also corrupt, because you gave a bribe to get
and
something.
And the person took the bribe and delivered.
Exactly.
Right. So
this legislation was created and debated with that in mind. So it wouldn't have considered, in a very sensitive topic as sextortion, that possibly this person was, you know, cursed to give the sexual favor, which is the only reason why they gave it. And if you go to fall under this act, you could possibly run the risk of being criminalized yourself. So that's the issue. That's why there needs to be a specific piece of legislation that was debated and created with sextortion and the victims of sextortion in mind, so that it would be able to consider all the, you know, all the little things here and there that is very specific to that particular issue.
So I like what you explained there, because it is like receiving stolen goods. You can be charged for that.
Yes, you can.
So somebody sell you a car or sell you a TV, and you know the TV, but you pay and you buy it, or you receive it, you can be charged for receiving stolen items.
Yes.
So it's the same as sextortion.
Yes.
You give sexual favors for this, and you're caught, and it's guilty, and it's proven, you're going down too.
Yeah, but I'm saying that as a problem. I'm saying that...
All right.
Yes.
Before you go forward. Hello, good morning. I see you've been trying to call. Good morning.
Yes, Davey. You know, I like to open up the conversation.
Well, quickly.
So, you know, sometimes people have relationships, genuine relationships. And when it falls apart, then they start to claim otherwise. So that's one of the things that I want to comment on. And secondly, you have a lot of young women who will befriend elderly men who have money to get money. And of course, they will have relationships and so on. So I just wanted to include that into the conversation and get the comment. I thank you. Enjoy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So obviously there will be concerns to ensure that persons don't abuse the particular piece of legislation to their advantage for whatever occurred. So that's what I said, that there needs to be a specific piece of legislation which we have experts coming together and saying, well, this is the problem, this is the issue, this could possibly be some of the downfalls of it, the pros and cons. So this is how we could safeguard against it. Mm. If someone makes a false report, there could possibly be a clause in the legislation that, hey, you could be charged for making false reports and things like that. So as it stands in Trinidad and Tobago, what I'm saying is that we don't have a very direct or any piece of legislation at all that deals specifically with the issue of sextortion. So mm-hmm. what we have to do is force it into the existing legislation that we have, like the Sexual Offences Act or the Prevention of Corruption Act or the Trafficking Act, to ensure that the persons who come and report crimes like this, that they aren't without recourse. But until we actually deal with the issue very pointedly, it means that perpetrators could operate within the grey zones where the legislation don't cover and avoid the consequences of their actions.
Exactly. So now, in society today, yeah. it is difficult to prove sextortion, in my respected opinion.
Right.
It's my word against yours.
But
unless you can document it, yes. record it secretly under the desk. But then, could you secretly, are you allowed to secretly record someone without their knowledge?
So even before we talk about secretly recording persons, I think the issue with any sexual offenses type crime, it is difficult to I wouldn't necessarily say it is difficult to prove, but it's generally a situation where it is the word of the victim against the word of the perpetrator.
Mm-hmm.
So, as an example, if you're just dealing with a general offense of rape, for instance, one of the things that they would have is the statement of the victim. And usually for the sufficiency hearing, that is enough to move forward to the actual trial. And then at the trial, you're tested to determine which version of the...
what are you saying? Somebody could just... You could just stand up and accuse me of sexual harassment or sextortion. You could do that, and then police arrest me, charge me, and then I had to defend it in court?
Well, I mean, any crime, that is the situation.
No, but
two things about it. We don't have any legislation dealing with sextortion in Trinidad as yet. That's the first thing.
No, but you now mentioned that a person...
With rape. So
or
anybody,
rape.
That's generally what occurs.
So you could say... So somebody could give consent to sex activities.
Yeah.
And after says rape, and the man getting arrested without any question.
Yeah.
And then go to court to defend it. And the police then looking to prove the case then.
Yeah. Well, usually when someone makes a report, they would do tests. They would take the victim to the hospital do a swab, and then take the swab from the person who is accused to see if it matches and things like that. So, but generally, rape is a situation where one person is accusing another person of that particular crime, and it's based on whichever version of the story that that you believe. But I would say that it isn't that persons could just generally just be falsely accused of rape across the board. I remember we did a matter, and the person was accused of rape, and he indicated that he was innocent. He was adamant that he was innocent, quite literally. And I mean, we were going through to see what exactly would be the case. He lost, I believe, his job because he was a police officer, and you know, if you have a pending matter, you'd be sent on suspension. He didn't lose it altogether. He was sent on suspension. His wife divorced him. He lost custody of his children, and he came into our office crying about the situation. And it had the statement of the victim, but the analysis was pending. So that was ongoing. And we would keep pushing for it to come because we're like, you're delaying the case. And when it came back, it didn't match. And the DPP, the director of the public prosecutor, gave a notice of discontinuance against the person and ended the matter there. Yeah. So that's usually how it goes. So it's up to you now to defend yourself and say, well, I wasn't there when that person accused me of doing that particular act.
Hold on.
Mm-hmm.
You hear what you just say, right? This man lost his wife.
Yep.
Lost his children.
Yep.
Marriage done for something he did not do.
Yes.
Wow.
And that is the thing. That is why we have a justice system in Trinidad and Tobago. Sometimes, whenever we see the headlines, and I highlight these things not to show that, you know, there are cracks in our justice system, but to show why we need a strong justice system in the first place. Because sometimes we see on social media, you'd see the report where this person is charged of this particular offense, and the person received bail, you might say, because they possibly had no previous convictions, etc. They received bail, and the comments automatically go, why this person get bail, why da da da, because we automatically assume guilt, not recognizing that there is a justice system in place to ensure that this person who was charged with this crime, because anybody could go and make a report that this person is actually guilty. That's why we just don't jump from charging a person to throwing them in jail for the rest of their life.
I was that police officer, I don't about that wife. But then I understand her position too.
Yeah.
This thing. But what if he... No, you said the DNA or whatever didn't match.
Yeah.
So what I'm trying to get to, and my pause raised because this is really scary stuff.
Yeah.
You and a woman have sex.
Yeah.
You all copulate. And for some reason, she wants you to leave your wife or your woman that you're with, your child mother, whatever. She wants it for herself.
But
you refuse to leave.
Yeah.
But you did have sex with her. You did engage in. And then she went and she cried. You know what? Yeah, what's going on? Rape.
Yeah.
They do testing. It matched. You was there. But you didn't rape her. It was consensual.
Mm-hmm.
What happens then?
Yeah. So rape is one of a very sensitive area in the law that we have, that you have to do whenever you're doing a matter. But the thing about it is the first step, we have safeguards within our criminal justice system. The first step with, if someone goes and make a report, it is up to the police officers to do some type of investigation. But I mean, in rape, it's really just the word of one person or the other. They generally take the person to the hospital to get tested for the doctor to determine if there was even sexual intercourse there or not. Then take swabs if there are any to then match it against the other person. And it is up to the defense attorney and the person to then defend if this person is being wrongly accused. And this is why I say we always need a strong justice system. And because we see someone charged with a particular crime, especially sexual offenses crime, we automatically think that this person should burn in jail. But you never know if this person was wrongly accused. And persons often ask how, because I do generally criminal law, how do you feel to be defending criminals? But the thing is, if someone is charged with a crime, that does not automatically mean that they are guilty. We have a criminal justice. If when we go to court and the evidence comes out that it does in fact match, there wasn't consent, the person has bruises all over their body, they were beaten, things like that, then we go down that line. But if not, if you can't prove that this was without the consent of this individual, then why are we throwing this person in jail?
Good morning.
Good morning, Davy, and good morning to counsel.
Good morning.
If it is a lady, say I meet Davy the first time, I never hear him on the radio, I'd never see him, and I met him, and he invited me, and Davy said, I am living alone. Why it is these women are going home by you for the first time? Why can't they go and talk in a restaurant or a cafe or something so know each other? And before you go home by the person, sometimes you does not know, as the baby rightfully tell about the story where the man lost everything and he didn't do anything. So we as women have to protect ourselves, and then it is we move on to any kind of relationship before sexual relationship.
Yeah.
I'm speaking for women, Davy. I'm speaking because I know sometimes some men want to take advantage, you know? So that is my issue about it, Davy. Thank you very much, and counsel.
Thank you. Yes. I love how she referred to you, boy. Counsel, boy. I love that. Thank you very much. Yeah, boy, people balling. Yeah, you know, pressure, boy. Listen. Whoa.
Yes, it is
good morning, Davy. Okay, considering the law with regards to this sextortion thing, but clearly you can see it's you're guilty until proven innocent. That's how it goes.
And I actually know, while we're having this discussion, I actually know the perfect attorney who we could have this conversation with, especially as it relates to sexual offenses. So I am definitely... If he's listening, I'm definitely going to bring him next week to dissect this, yes.
We're going through this?
Yeah. And I also want to say, in response to the woman who called previously, a woman definitely have a responsibility to ensure that they protect themselves. Mm-hmm. But we also, it's a very thin line that you walk whenever you're dealing with sexual offenses. You have to ensure that you also don't blame the victim. Because, you know, a woman might just be out having a time, and that doesn't necessarily mean that they should be, you know,
sexually assaulted or raped. Assaulted.
Yeah. So, I mean, they may have made a, let's say, a dumb decision in the moment, but I don't feel as though that the consequence of that should be sexual assault or rape, now, you know? Yeah.
To parents and those of you in your cars right now, I know this topic might be taboo for you all, and you're saying, "Mama, children in the car going to school." Please understand that this is a moment for you to educate your children. Gone are the days when we treat these topics as taboo, and then our vulnerable in society, like our young ones, get into adulthood not understanding their rights, the way to protect themselves, the parameters that governs their bodies, their personal space. So please don't switch your radio from this conversation, right? If they ask you questions, please provide age-appropriate answers for them. But do not treat these sexual or sextortion, sexual harassment conversations as taboo, and that my child should not be hearing this. Your child in primary school could be sexually harassed and would not understand what it sounds or looks like without conversations like these. So please do not think that it's inappropriate for morning radio. This is information to educate you guys. And stop with the taboo of your children can't know this. Let them know. That's why America and other first world countries are far advanced than us, because they don't hold this information. They teach you to protect yourselves. Very quickly, good morning.
Jimmy, you're so right. Jimmy, bring my thing here. A lot of you think you can jail, and why? Innocently. If partner decides to go and have a good time, they know what those going through. After they have sex and all these things, somebody get to know, go and cry rape. The boy making 30 years in prison, and that's how the story goes, and it will never change because innocent people making jail.
All right.
We have to tell the youth men and them, sign a waiver with consent and a story.
Boy, listen. I want to share one more pause, Reyes, because it's sad. I remember I was at Bessor Street Police Station some years ago, the old station.
Yeah.
I had a friend, a police officer there, and I was there. We was discussing something for another, something we was doing, and I went there, we was talking and stuff.
Yeah.
While there, a woman came in the station with her boyfriend, who was angry. He was upset. He said something had to be done. His girlfriend was raped.
Yeah.
This is the story. So he's there at the station, my God, ting, ting, ting. They say, okay. They get the number for the fella. The fella was known to the girl. They're known, right? It's somebody that she previously engaged in relations with. But she had this boyfriend and she cried rape. Hear the thing, eh? This is a true story. While there, the police officers made a call to the boyfriend, to the alleged perpetrator,
right,
the alleged culprit, the suspect,
right,
and informed him of what is being said and that he should volunteer himself and come to the station as soon as he can to clear this issue before officers have to come for you.
Right.
And when he was told of it, the phone was on speaker in a, because if it, the old station room. In a charge room, they had a petition and they're talking.
Yeah.
Because they like to embarrass you and show you.
Yeah.
And the man is bawling, oh my God, that is not true. And he said, no, she came to my house willingly. The man said, Mom, I can't take this. I'm coming. And the boyfriend, yeah, better come down the road. The police say, hush him out. The boyfriend came. Long and short, the guy came.
Mm-hmm.
When he came, they had her and the boyfriend in a separate petition corner.
Right.
It blocked off with petition and there are desks.
Right.
And they had him in a next petition. So he wasn't seeing where they were. So they called and said, come, let me talk now. You know this person, so, yes. And the man started to explain certain things without questioning him. But she's sitting down in the next room.
Yeah.
Right next door.
Yeah.
And he's explaining. She came. He said, yeah, we just play. She accustomed playfully saying no. And you know, I know she know I was watching and we get into it. But she tell me she reached the spot. She reached the point twice. She told me this. And he was confused. He said, but what is this? Bam. They brought the woman to face her accuser.
Mm-hmm.
He wanted to face his accuser, and they let it happen, only to discover she cried rape and said four sexual activities because her boyfriend found out.
Yeah.
He came looking for her and he discovered she was there. And she said he forced her to come. She went to just drop off a document and he forced her.
Yeah. So it is, yeah.
My goodness.
It is a very thin line. So we have to kind of balance ensuring that persons aren't, you know, falsely accused or falsely convicted of offenses like this, but ensure that victims who may, you know, have experienced it, that they feel safe enough to come forward at the same time. So it is a very thin line that we have to work, that we have to also balance. Because sometimes, and I've seen it, when you go through social media, for instance, if the victim doesn't look a particular way, because, you know, we stereotype persons, and even though a woman may have been, you know, very wild before, that doesn't mean that she wasn't raped on this particular instance. Mm-hmm. So we have to, we want to ensure that we sift it through.
Yeah,
that persons aren't falsely convicted of offenses like this, but also to ensure that persons who may have experienced this, that they feel safe enough
to come
forward.
That they wouldn't be victimized. Because you can say she looked for that.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And I've seen it on social media a lot of times where a person, you know, sometimes you see a young girl run away for whatever reason, and based on the type of picture that is shared, you know, the type of clothes that she's wearing, they automatically assume, well, she went to look for man. That's usually the comment, because she doesn't look like the victim you expect, which isn't fair to anyone. Agreed. Regardless of how you look, you may that doesn't mean, or that doesn't allow any person to sexually assault or rape you. So,
and let's look at it for Carnival.
Yeah.
Women adorn themselves in thongs and half naked on the street. Does that give you the authority to go and touch them?
Exactly. So we as a society, we have some work to do in that regard. Yeah. And I hope that the topic isn't too heavy for some persons, but it's really just to ensure that persons are educated to know that these things exist. And if they experience these things, there are persons who you can go to. Because to give Trinidad some credit, we have specialized units who deals with these things. For instance, and then you'll read statements of the victims that are underage, and they'll have a particular person to talk to, and they'll ask the person, you know what's a lie, you know what's a truth, can you explain to me what's a lie? And you'll see them walking through. The person have to be there with a trusted adult to give that statement, etc. So we have made significant leaps in Trinidad.
Well done.
Yeah.
All right, let's take a call quickly. Good morning.
Maybe.
Good morning, sir.
Morning to you and your guests. Let me relate something to you. It had this fella walking seat up from baby, right? This is a true thing I'm telling you. He don't walk 10 o'clock and he coming home. You see this school girl from baby and he decided to get she a ride, you know, she gone in the station and tell the police that how he had sex with Jenny Rape, and they hold the man and lock him up. I went and take the man bill personal.
Mm.
And that happened in baby, boys.
Wow.
I was telling them, I'm a woman, and I'm a woman that's set up, man, boy.
Agreed, eh? Agreed. Yeah. Thank you for sharing.
Yeah, man.
All right, I want to keep the conversation, your calls, limited. We have much time with Andisa this morning.
But I also want to say this. I hope that we don't overlook that men and young boys could also be perpetrators to this.
Thank you.
And we need to ensure that they feel comfortable enough to go to the police stations and report that this happened, and that person won't view them as, you know, less than, because they, you know, like, we in the Caribbean and in Trinidad and Tobago, we kind of have this culture where we feel as though men have to be tough and strong, and, you know, they just have to deal with these type of things. So usually women feel safer, so sometimes something occur, you go, you talk to your friends about it, because women, you know, we were kind of cultured to have these conversations, where sometimes men are kind of taught to keep things to themselves and deal with it. So then you'll talk to your friend and friend like, girl, that's wrong, you should go to the police station and make a report. So generally you see more reports of rape and sexual assault by women, but that doesn't mean that men don't experience it. It's probably just that they don't report it. So we have to ensure that men feel safe to go to the police station and report these things, or report domestic violence and get the recourse that they need.
I want to add to what you're saying very quickly. We have 15 minutes again. Let me give you an example of a man being raped or sexually assaulted by a woman. The results that can come from this. This man may have gone to somebody's house. He may be lyman, and he was drugged.
Yeah.
And they sexually assault this man by asserting themselves. Now, the body functions a particular way. And you would say, well, a man needs to get, you know, an erection, and this had to happen before this, but it could happen under a drug. he was induced and this thing happened. And you say, well, boy, you're supposed to smile. What if he was given a sexually transmitted disease against his will? What if he didn't get the opportunity to protect himself with a condom or so forth? And you took advantage of him. That is rape. That is how you could rape a man or sodomize him or sexually abuse a man. You can't do it. You say, but how a man could, it could happen.
It can.
And men, if you have ever experienced that or are going through something, please speak up.
Yeah.
And as Andisa is saying, as counsel is saying, get to the police station.
Yeah.
And if they laugh, go to our next station, make it a thing.
Yeah, and there are specialized units. So if you're not getting the recourse that you want from, you know, a general police station, I believe the St. Clair police station has the gender-based violence unit.
Go
I
there.
Think also Bessel Street. So you could go there and could talk to the persons who are trained. They go to courses, and I don't know if she's still the head of that unit right now. Her name is slipping me right now, but they do amazing work. Sometimes when you contact them and you let them know, well, the person went to the police station and didn't get the recourse, they send, you know, they call and they follow up and they get things done. And I also want to highlight one thing before we move on. In Trinidad, we had the Tutt-Lamkin decision. And in that particular case, I think I probably mentioned it here before, but she was in a relationship with a person. They had a child together. And she was experiencing significant domestic violence over a prolonged period of time, to the point that she went to the court to get protection orders against this person. The first protection order, the court said that she was only trying to fast track the custody application that she had in. So it was sent out. The second time she didn't appear, the perpetrator appeared and he said, well, she no longer wants to pursue this. It was thrown out again. She made another, and I believe the day after she went to the police station and she reported that he was abusing her again. Before she got home, the person killed her and killed himself. And when the police officer, actually, we don't go to that as yet. And from that case, her mother brought an action in the court and said that they violated her right to family, etc. And from that decision, the court ruled that the actors of the state have a positive obligation to take steps to protect the citizens of Trinidad and Tobago. So it isn't that the state can't, you know, violate your right to life, etc. They have to take positive steps. So the fact that the police officers didn't take the reports that she made seriously and the courts didn't consider her application seriously meant that they violated her right and they ordered her mother damages, etc. as a result. But the interesting part of that matter is I went to a discussion where her mother was there, and her mother indicated that when the police officers came to let her know that her daughter was just killed in the streets by this man, she walked inside to tell the girl's dad, who then coughed her in her face because she was also experiencing domestic violence in her household.
I remember
that. Yes. So two things from that. Sometimes this thing could be a cycle that we have to break. But more importantly, we have a decision. And at the time, Senior Counsel Reginald Armour was the Attorney General, and he made a decision to not appeal it, accepting that this is the position in Trinidad. So if you go to a police station and they refuse to take your report, you could possibly be entitled to some type of recourse as a result of that. Because the actors of the state, which includes the police officer, they have a positive obligation to take steps to protect the citizens of this country.
David, good morning. We went recently to give evidence in a 19-year-old case of rape. Yeah. Previous using a sex toy and mouth by three persons on a 14-year-old over 3 days. The jury returned a hung verdict. You can't make... Okay. I want to get some voicemail notes for you quickly.
Good morning, Mr. Davey. Good morning to the goodly attorney there, the knowledgeable attorney, I should say. I know of a particular situation. This happened about between 35, 40 years ago, where this gentleman, right, he and this in teenage, with all teenage way of life, they were boyfriend and girlfriend. Then they both end up marrying elsewhere and whatever it is. And then for some reason, many years after, both people have children, and what have happened is that he linked up back with the lady. In fact, the fatigue was Beauty and the Beast. There's a call, the Beast and she is the, and when the husband did get to find out the dealing, he was the woman was forced to say that he raped her, and he ended up, because of lack of proper representation, lack of whatever it is in the justice system, the fellow had to serve some like 18 years in jail, and that mashed up his whole life right through. And well, you know what's the sad part? After he came back out from jail, he became a preacher man inside the jail. Well, after he finished, when he came from jail, it was a situation whereby she wanted to link up back with him again. And he said no. He had served 18 years or 20 years, whatever the jail time is, a long time in jail, right? And he has lost his family where that was concerned. So the system has its way in which the men are generally persecuted for things that sometimes not really true.
All right, thank you. I knew of an incident where a young man and a young woman was in a relationship, unknown to her parents. One night, her parents saw them together at the back of the home and confronted him. He ran. The parents shouted, "Rape a man, rape a man." The guys in the village bar held him and gave him a great bodily beating. For months, he was in a coma in hospital. The girl never admitted that she was in a relationship with him for almost 6 months. Huh. My goodness, the stories.
Morning, Davey. Morning, Council. This is a very, very relevant topic because, yes, I'm sure every one of us have heard or know of a situation with someone where they were found guilty of a situation or they were proven innocent after being locked up and so on. The long story short is that culture has changed, society has changed. Yeah. Men and women have changed. Men seem to have a hard time saying no or accepting a no when they hear it. Women, sometimes in the scenario, you know, you're having some drinks, you're relaxing, you rock back, you're chilling with some friends, and, you know, subconsciously, you get flirtatious. Or you get friendly and you're smiling, you start to touch a person, you know, on the arm, the shoulder. And I mean, two people intoxicated, having a good vibe, it, you know, the hormones start to go in a different direction and things has happened and then you regret it. So basically, you know, responsibility, act responsibly, know the consequences that can follow. Right? And I mean, you know, stay in your lane, basically, and things should be okay.
Good morning. I had a girlfriend that claimed to be raped in church. The guy was arrested, and when investigated, they found out she went to church that day for that and only said she was raped because of guilt. So she went to church for Sheila Lenners. Get through, and then guilty after and cry rape. Good morning. So why not have penalties for those who falsely accuse someone and waste police time?
Yeah. So, I mean, you could go and make a report for false reports. And then, generally, if a person feels as though the prosecution against them was malicious, then they have recourse in the court for that as well. And you could go and you could bring a...
Can a man rape his wife that he lives with?
Yes.
So they're living together, they're good, but they had an argument.
Yeah.
And they fall out and... He come home and he say, "Oh, go, you know, with Jimmy, a time with you now. I wore this, come to you, girl." And could he, and he forces himself on her. Mm-hmm. But they generally have a good marriage. They're not in, neighbors don't have no reports.
Yeah.
But this incident, you know, they was upset and he finds she holding all this thing too long and he get vexed and he come home and he say, "Forget that," and he forces his way.
Yeah.
And she could cry rape.
Yes. Previously, our legislation didn't allow for rape between married persons, but it was changed, it was amended, and a husband can rape his wife, or a wife can rape her husband in our jurisdiction.
Beautiful. Yeah. I wanted that to be out there. A husband can rape his wife, and a wife can rape her husband.
Yes.
We're not talking about estranged relationships where, you know, they live in separate and he go on home by her. Now, if they live in separate and she move out and they separate and he go on there and do something or she come by him, and that is different. But I'm talking about if you're living in your house with your wife or your husband and all your dress going down and all your normal, but on this one occasion, she told you no, she was not in the mood. Mm-hmm. And you force, and then she cry rape.
Yeah. The central issue is consent. how that consent was obtained, you know, if consent was given at all. That's essential. It doesn't care what relationship you guys Good. Had.
And here's the next factor that came up, and I want to be very clear on this. We have a part 203 coming there, because we still didn't talk the harassment part.
Yeah.
But I'm happy with the calls. Somebody gives consent uh-huh. to relations.
Right.
And midway they say, stop. I don't want to do this anymore.
Then the consent has been revoked, and that could possibly be
if you continue.
Forward. Yeah.
So the person tells you stop,
mm-hmm.
you should stop. And that's that is simple to the stand your ground legislation. You were invited into somebody's home, and they're having a little lime, and some argument broke out, and the person said, leave my house, please.
Mm-hmm.
It could be a friend for the longest while. The person told you, leave my house.
Mm-hmm.
And you decide you're not leaving. Mm-hmm. You are now trespassing.
Yeah.
Fact yeah. or fiction?
Yeah, but we had to be careful with what you do to get your person out. Because I keep saying that the stand your ground legislation is very much a codification of the common law position on self-defense. And there are things that you have to prove when you're trying to rely on self-defense in the court. The court just not going to say, okay, well, this person was defending themselves, they're getting off scotch-free. So you had to show that you were, number one, defending yourself, and the actions that you take to do so was proportional. So, you know, still All also right. be very careful.
Would taping the intimacy exonerate you from a rape charge?
Well, I mean, taping could possibly be another thing in itself. If you tape someone having, you know, sexual intercourse yeah. without their consent. And I don't know if you guys could remember the Therese Hall and Lendl Simmons case mm-hmm. some years ago
okay.
where they were, you know, they were in their relationship. They were sending, you know, images to each other and taping themselves, and he shared it afterwards. And the court ruled that was a breach of confidence.
Of course it was.
And he had to pay her damages. So just, you know, if you're recording, you should possibly get the consent of
the person. For safeguard. For safeguard.
Well, yeah. My question is, how is it determined by a court or whoever that a rape actually took place by a husband to his wife? How is that actually determined to know whether he is guilty or not?
The same
way. I ask that because simply there probably would be no witnesses to this act. So how is it determined who is lying?
There's generally no witnesses to
any rape. Most times.
So
let's leave it there, Andisa. Yeah. We have to leave it there, guys. The news time is upon us. I want to thank Andisa for coming in. We had a very, very tough topic to discuss this morning. Taboo, for if you want to call it that. But we're coming back next week, Friday, God's Spare Life. And we're going with a part two to this. We probably have a guest in studio yeah. that is very learned in this or specified in this area mm-hmm. of sextortion and sexual harassment cases. Another attorney would probably join us. But keep your questions, all right? We have to pull the plug on justice for today. I see the importance of it, and we will be back.
You're tuned into the all-new Freedom 106.5.
106.5.